Good morning, everyone. And welcome to those who are listening throughout the church downstairs or watching online. And we hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving this coming week. It'll be a little different. We never imagined, but we'll make the best of it. And if there are any needs that anyone has, you know, whatever it is, food items, we do have a banquet of blessing here, and many of you are very generous with that. But if there's anything outstanding, or if you're going to be alone, and you know, come talk to me, talk to the pastors or a church member, and we'll want to help you out. Welcome to the Katrina and Gunderson families, extended family. Elise, it's a big day today for her baptism, so we welcome you as well. And a few things coming up in the bulletin. 12-2, Wednesday night, the Women's Ministry Christmas party. Take note of that and the mitten outreach and what you can bring for that. And also, well, again, the Banquet of Blessing. There's a list of items that we have plenty of. And thanks for the donations. There are a few things that we're short on. A lot of the stuff goes out immediately that's in the, you know, to the community and to those in the church. So be mindful of that. Thank you, Ruth, for keeping us updated on the Banquet of Blessing, our food pantry. Next Sunday begins Advent. Amazing. Our theme for the series this year is the gift of waiting. Has anyone found waiting to be a gift? We're waiting for a lot to happen, aren't we? But it's we will press into the whole meaning of Advent, anticipating, waiting, and trusting the Lord through the process. So that starts next Sunday. But we're here to worship. It's wonderful that we are able to gather, you know, and be safe. Social distancing, families are together, and we can trust the Lord. We are so grateful He has protected us, and we pray that happened, that continues for all. There is one change, one scripture has changed, Psalm 1, instead of Hebrews. So, but Ken will announce that when we come. But let us open up our hearts even more, and let us sing together, and stand if you are able.
Good morning. Would you join me in our call to worship today? Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we will give thanks to you and praise your glorious name.
Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you, and yes, we just quiet our hearts, and we ask for the fullness of your presence. We are so thankful as we enter into this week of thanksgiving, and forgive us when we're not grateful, O Lord, and open up our hearts to you and to those around us this season ahead. Heavenly Father, may you be praised and honored in this time of worship. And we're so thankful to have visitors with us today for a special little girl, Elise, in the baptism. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch all of our hearts. Fill us all to overflowing. Open our spiritual eyes. Help us to see you and to delight in you and your ways. And join us together as one. Even now as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
There's a little change to the reading on page 424 of your pew Bible. You can find Psalm 1. We'll start with that. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whether they do, prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The second reading is found on page 872 of your Pew Bible. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow them because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me and thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. And have selection the song 86 ready. We'll sing that, just remaining seated in just a few minutes. Morning cry. Well, today Wes and Kim Catrania, they bring their daughter Elise Lane to the church for the sacrament of holy baptism. And we rejoice in God's promises to each one taking this significant step of faith. Elise's godparents are her uncle Eric Gunderson and aunt Kristen Catrania. And welcome again to each and every one of the family members. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, as God called and chose his servant people Israel and made covenant with them, saying, "I will be your God and you will be my people." So, in the fullness of time, God called and chose Jesus Christ to fulfill this covenant for all. Through his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection, God has made a new covenant of grace, whereby we say, "I am yours and the people that you have given to me." Today we come to claim the promises of that new covenant, rejoicing that our Savior Jesus Christ instituted baptism as a visible sign of covenant making, our washing with water by the word, our habitat in Christ, crucified and risen, our bonding in water with brothers and sisters in Christ, our solidarity with those with whom he is in solidarity, and it's our commissioning to serve in Jesus' name. We'll pause here and sing a wonderful hymn about our Heavenly Father's presence with us all throughout our life. Morning cry. Let us sing together. Well, let us hear baptism's promise and call, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you, even to the end of the age." What a wonderful promise. And from Romans 6, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." All right, the making of promises. First the parents, Wes and Kim, and then godparents, Eric and Kristen, and then for us as a church, making our promise to Elise and the family as well. So Wes and Kim, do you now desire that Elise be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? So answer, we do. Proclaiming this covenant with Jesus Christ, do you renounce all the powers of evil and declare your opposition to a way of life in contradiction to the gospel? And relying on God's grace, do you promise to teach the word of God to Elise, to pray for her and help her in every way so that she may become a true disciple of Jesus Christ? And empowered by the Holy Spirit, do you promise to enable Elise to participate fully in the life of the local body of Christ, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? Okay, and Kristen and Eric, as godparents, do you promise to pray for and support Wes and Kim in the promises that they have made, as well as to pray for and help Elise to confess the Christian faith as her own? If so, answer, I do. Wonderful. How about us, church? Shall we take part? Yes, we will. Well, that was rhetorical, but thank you. Okay. Just wait, I've got to say a few things. The Christian nurture of Elise cannot be assumed by parents and godparents alone. Since we are members of one another in the fellowship of the church, the responsibility for caring for the newly baptized must be shared by all. In receiving and caring for Elise, will you, as members of the church, do your part by word and deed, with love and prayer, to guide and to nurture Elise, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and caring for her as Christ's own? If so, say, "With God's help, we will." With God's help, we will. Wonderful. Let us pray. God, our Creator and Redeemer, you have called us from death to new life. We thank you for your saving love in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for this sacrament of grace and what it means to the church. As we baptize with water, baptize with the Holy Spirit. As we speak, let it be your word. As we act, let us do your work in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, Elise. Hey, how are you? A little sleepy? I got you. Elise Lane Catrania, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen? Amen. She may just go right to sleep. Behold what manner the love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Let us give thanks and praise to God. Precious. Here's a certificate. And go enjoy and serve the Lord. Blessings. Okay? Thank you. Is it children's sermon time? All right. Come on up, kids. Come on, come on. Yeah, you can go up if you want.
We have quite the little flock going down there. Would you join in prayer with me for prayers of the church? Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you because you are the good, good shepherd, Lord. You come to us, Lord, and you tend to our needs, and you care for us, and you love us, and you protect us, and you dwell among us, and you listen to us as we bring our needs and our desires and even our hurts, Lord, to you. And you are faithful to listen and intervene on our behalf. So we come before you, Lord, and we bring those things that are pressing on our hearts, and we lift up our brothers and sisters to you today, Lord, because we know that you are a God who intervenes on behalf of his people. So, Father, we praise you for good news that we've received this week. We praise you that our sister Lucille is doing better and getting stronger every day, Lord, that you are sustaining her and healing her and making her stronger each and every day. We thank you for Liz Montambo's family, for Carol and Bob, who they are getting better as well, Lord. We thank you that your presence has been with them, surrounded them, that you've upheld them and strengthened them. We thank you for the improvement that we've seen with our brother Steve Jones. We just praise you, Lord, because you have taken him so far, Lord. And we are so thankful for every day that you make him stronger, that you heal his lungs, that you give him peace, and you've surrounded his family with such peace and encouragement, Lord. And we lift up our sister Marcia Cornell, Lord, our sister Sue's mother. Father, you have brought her through so much, Lord, and we know that you were there with her. And we ask that your healing would be upon her, Lord, that you would give clarity to her mind, that you would return her speech, that you would give her peace and let her body just heal, Lord, that you would put your hand upon her and let her know that each and every moment you are with her, healing her. We lift up our brother Tom, who will be going into surgery on Wednesday, Lord. We ask for wisdom for his physicians, wisdom for the surgeons, Lord, that everything would go exactly according to plan, that this would bring him peace and healing, Lord, and his recovery would be quick, Lord, and that you would heal what needs to be healed and made what needs to be stronger. We lift up our sister Millie, who's going in for a test tomorrow. Lord, we thank you that you are already preparing the way, that you have already given good results, that everything that needs to line up will happen perfectly in perfect timing so that she may have the surgery that she needs, Lord. And we thank you that you go before her and you go with her. And we lift up our sister Doris Bergamo, Lord, as at this time, Lord, her cancer is terminal. And we just ask, Lord, we ask for your peace and your presence with her and her family, that you guide them during these last steps, Lord, that you give them hope, that you stir their hope in knowing what lies ahead, and you give them strength to walk it out. Because you are a God who is always there, Lord, in every need, in every fear, in every hurt, in every tear that each one of us cries, you are always there. And we can rest in knowing that each one of us is secure in the palm of your hand and that you will work everything for the good. But Father, we ask for your help in the waiting, for there is joy in waiting, there is peace in waiting, and there is strength in waiting, and you will grow our faith. So Lord, let us be anchored firmly to you. Let us be rooted deeply with you, Lord, as we wait to see with our eyes how you will work out everything for the good of your children. We praise you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All who are able, please stand for our song.
Thank you.
wonderful singing. You may be seated. That's the kind of song that'll stay with you all day. Well, John 10:10 said, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come," Jesus saying this, that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it in abundance. He gives us life and then a life of abundance as well. Do we believe this? Do we know this? For all who believe in him, it's about salvation. The gift of grace, of salvation, because of Jesus, because he's dying for us, dying for our sins. It's the best gift we could ever receive. It is life. It is new birth, a born-again experience, if we would have it, if we would follow that. Eternal life, forever with him in glory. For we know the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." He gave his one and only Son. Isaiah 53:10 says this, "It was God's will to crush him, to make him suffer, to become an offering for sin, to bear fruit, to justify many." Amazing grace, an amazing gift, that whoever would believe in him will have everlasting life. And we know that Jesus surrendered to the Father's will, to his plan. "Not my will, but yours." You know, "Oh, Father, may this cup pass for me," meaning his death. "But not my will, your will be done." He bore the burdens of our sins on himself. And five times in John 10, I think Ken read one of them, and five times it said, Jesus said, "I lay down my life. No one lays it down for me. I lay it down of my own accord. It's my own initiative." Amazing. And today is the final sermon about the exchanged life. As believers, our life in Christ. You know, new heart, new identity. And today adding that the abundant life. It is a life full of so much. We've only tapped into a little bit. We could never tap into it all of what it means if we would only partake of it. This abundant life that Jesus has given us. If we ask the Lord, he will help us. If we ask him, he will help us in three ways today. And first is to rest in the abundant life. Second is to delight in the abundant life. And then three, bring the present reality and abundance of the Lord's kingdom to the world. We have so much to offer the world because of Jesus, because of the Father's love and the sacrifice of Christ, and because of the Holy Spirit who wants to flow through us like new wine. There'll be a song after the sermon today. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you will establish this in us today, this abundant life of rest, delight, and bringing it to the world. Amen. RDB, rest, delight, bring. We can remember that. If confirmation kids are here today, you can take those sermon notes. RDB, all right? And get credit for it. So resting in the abundant life. Every month I meet with a spiritual director. And he begins the sessions with a prayer. A prayer about silence. And then we spend time in silence after he prays the prayer. And what's hard about that, I don't know about you, but it's just hard to be silent sometimes. Or just to rest. You know, we're supposed to rest in this abundant life. What about getting out there and doing it? You know, we got to be busy. We got to keep working. We got to, you know, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But sometimes we just need the silence to welcome it. To trust in God and his ways, that he's got it. You know, I can be silent for a while because God has my back. He has your back. And in stillness, we can hear the voice of God. And we need to rest at the feet of Jesus. So just listen to this. Close your eyes if you want. I believe God is going to tug on your heart with this. And this is the prayer he prays from Henry Nouwen. O Lord Jesus, your words to your Father were born out of your silence. Lead me into this silence so that my words may be spoken in your name and thus be fruitful. It is so hard to be silent with my mouth, but even more silent with my heart. There's so much talking going on within me. If I were simply to rest at your feet and realize that I belong to you and you alone, I would easily stop arguing with all the real and imaginary people around me. I know that in the silence of my heart, you will speak to me and show me your love. Give me, O Lord, that silence. Let me be patient and grow slowly into the silence in which I can be with you. Amen. In times like that, just resting in, you know, this abundant life, we need that silence because, you know, there's a lot to be done. Psalm 127 reminds us, though, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, you're just laboring in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, you're just staying awake in vain. God says, it is in vain for you to rise up so early and retire so late to eat the bread of hard labor. For God gives his beloved children, even in their sleep, he gives to us. What a promise. So this resting and enjoying the abundance. Don't overwork. You know, why do some of us believe that there's 8 days of work? 8 days in a week. You know, there aren't. You can't work another day. You got to take a day off. And we're commanded to observe Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath, to make it holy. One day where you're not working. It's so hard when so many are working remotely now. Shut it off. Unplug everything. To enjoy God and his provision and his presence. Psalm 23:1, the Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. He lavishes upon us the life that is called abundant by Jesus. It is available. It's overflowing. If we would only partake of it. And again, the solution in this first piece is rest. And this invitation from Jesus may be for you today. Maybe it's for me. Who said, come to me, all you who are weary, and all you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Do you need this today? Come to him, believe in him. And he will give you his rest and new life. So D, delighting in the abundant life. And I know the sermon title is different in the bulletin, but that's what I would call this sermon. Delighting in the abundant life. The Arbor Day Foundation, they launched a new slogan, a strategy last year. You ever participated getting those free trees and, you know, they'll send them to you and you plant? I think one year, my wife Lisa, she got all these Christmas trees. So we planted a bunch of them and, you know, I think half of them maybe died. But we still have a couple of those and they're getting pretty big. That was 22 years ago now. But their new slogan is, it's time for trees. You got to like that. Kind of catchy. The goal of 100 million trees planted by Arbor Day, June 2022. There's probably a long way to go. If that kind of intrigues you, get involved with Arbor Day. But thinking about this spiritually, it's time for trees, you know, planted by God, symbolizing believers. You know, like Ken read in Psalm 1, a flourishing tree. Our God is able because with him there is abundant resources. You know, there's no fall dormancy with God. where kind of all those life juices are kind of shut down for a while till the spring. No, it's a continual flow and connection to His nourishment and nurture and power. There is abundant resources to make and multiply disciples. You know, I think this year there's been more seedlings from trees all over the place. Nuts, the squirrels have been going crazy. I got the biggest nest in my woodshed I've never seen before. You know, what's going on? But just the amount of seeds, we can multiply disciples spiritually to let it flow through all generations. Psalm 1 speaks about this. The faithful who will follow God's path. You know, like a flourishing tree planted. And then that can be multiplied. It can extend through many generations. That faithful life that teaches the next generation and the next generation. You know, we skip generations. There's been too many times that generations are skipped. Maybe we weren't taught the things of God. Maybe we weren't discipled. Well, it's time for us to step up, to be discipled, and then become a discipler, that more seeds would be planted and more trees planted. Now, Psalm 1, you know, have we experienced this kind of delight? What delight comes to those who follow God's ways and God's word? Yeah, sometimes you can feel like you're stuck in the mud reading through the Bible. But no, there's life. The Word of God is alive and wants to connect with us. And we can take great delight in it. And those who have been faithful to reading and meditating and studying it, there is great delight. And then we're taught how to delight and to stand firm. God's Word says this. You know, I'm supposed to love my enemies. I'm supposed to forgive. So I'm going to stand firm in that. I'm going to delight in that. It may be hard, but that's what God wants me to do because I've been forgiven and God has shown me grace. You know, that's just one example. But to stand firm in the abundance of God, the abundant life, like a flourishing tree planted by God's design. What was it like? It's deeply rooted by streams of living water. Those roots going deep down, bearing fruit in every stage, every season. You know, even at a young age, children up through the youth and young adults and middle age and older adults, there's no retirement. You know, thank God there's retirement in the world, but with God there's no retirement spiritually. We're always part of His family, always part of His church. You know, there's no withering. Blessed by God, bearing fruit. It's time for our discipleship, our following to go deeper and further. And then the growth will be remarkably abundant out there. It will multiply exponentially. That's the hope. That's the plan. Oh, I delight in this good news. Because the opposite path, what Ken read for us, walking in step with the wicked who will not endure the day of judgment. The day of judgment is coming. You know, those who are living that wicked way and following a different path, they will not stand. God will not defend them, it says. No, all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. Nothing they do will succeed or endure for long. Just a flash in the pan. For they have no part with those who walk in truth. And the Passion Narrative says, a great translation, the Passion Narrative says that all they are is dust in the wind. And if you're about my age, or you're thinking, all they are is dust in the wind. Now we're going to be singing that. No. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, how marvelous. All they are is dust in the wind. 1978. Kansas. I was in high school. I need my wife. Is that right? Yeah. I was in high school. 1979 grad. But the guitarist Cary Livgren, he wrote those words after reading Native American poetry. And he saw the line, "All we are is dust in the wind." And he became a Christian 2 years later. Sounds like my mic's going in and out. Yeah, he says of his songwriting in the 70s, "I was only expressing my own searching for something." Yeah, that song's definitely, it is great, you know. It's a song about nothing, but it's, you know, we liked it. It's still playing in my head. But he was blown around like chaff or like dust, and God saved him and planted him. And to use his gift for God's goodness and to flourish for him, for his kingdom. Maybe it's a time for changing some of our things that we're doing. Where are we planting ourselves? Is it in God's Word? Is it meditating on His Word? Is it in the life of the church? Is it, you know, where are we planting ourselves? We need to delight in the Lord and His Word and His ways and in the abundant life. And He will help us stand firm like a flourishing tree. A tree that sends a lot of seeds out, you know. Not for the squirrels to get, but to become planted in more trees and spiritual and believers. So resting in this abundant life, delighting in this abundant life, and now it's time to bring it. To bring the abundance of the Lord's kingdom to the world. John 12:24 says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And Jesus is that initial seed ultimately, right? His death brought great life and will continue to do that. But it's also a call for us to follow, to die to self and live for God in Christ. You know, tapping into His power, His provision with delight. Spreading His kingdom reality. That there is forgiveness, there is love, there is deliverance, there are miracles. He's given us His authority, His power to pray and to believe and to see miracles. Spreading His kingdom, expecting a bumper crop. That call for us to follow, to die to self and live for God. The song that the worship team, not yet worship team, another couple minutes, but a couple of the lines in there, because you don't have the words in your bulletin, but it's powerful. You know, one of the lines is, "In the soil I now surrender. You're breaking new ground, O God. In the crushing, in the pressing, you're making new wine. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me." Wonderful, wonderful song. Just a few minutes from now. In Mark 4:26, Jesus told this parable. "The kingdom of God is like a man spreading seed upon the soil. He goes to bed, wakes up, the seed sprouts up and grows." How? He doesn't know. "The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain. When time is right, he puts forth the sickle because the harvest has come." The harvest has come. The fields are white for harvest in our day and age, in this time, even in a pandemic, worldwide. People searching, ready, hungry. It's time to bring it. It's time to bring the kingdom by our living it out. Forgiving, praying for enemies. It's time. We need revival, and God is about revival. If we ask, He will raise up the spiritually dead, right? He will break our hearts over what breaks His. All the divisions and polarization. The rejecting of God and His ways and His love. He will do amazing things through us. My wife Lisa gets the Biblical Archaeological Review magazine from her dad. Yeah, I think Dan's got a couple of the copies. I see a smile in there. And in this winter edition, there's a title, "New Fruit from Old Seeds." new fruit from old seeds. I just thought, wow, that's preaching to me. In the article, it tells about a team from the Lewis L. Borick Natural Medicine Research Center in Jerusalem that they sprouted six new trees from 2,000-year-old plus, more than 2,000-year-old seeds. It's like, what? Only God can do something like that. How do they do that? Judean date palms. They were discovered at various archaeological sites, and the trees were once grown in plantations around Jericho and the Dead Sea. I mean, this is way back. This is Old Testament Bible. In 2008, the team announced that they had germinated. So you just get, you know, those you know, you work with the seeds and the little sprout. It's just a little germinate, you know, it's germinated, it's ready to go. But the seed was discovered at Masada, that ancient fortification high up in the Dead Sea region. I had a chance to visit there in 2014. And they named that tree, that seed, Methuselah. the biblical character that lived almost 1,000 years. Well, hey, this seed is even older than Methuselah. And two other seeds. There were six that they had, but along with Adam and Hannah, Methuselah, these three seeds, they by radiocarbon dating, they dated it back to the 4th to the 1st century B.C. So 21 to 2400 years old. Wow. And of course, they took special care preparing these seeds to germinate, and quite a process to make the seedling and then the fruit-bearing tree. It takes 4 to 10 years for a female tree to bear fruit. And that's about the timeline that it took from 2008. Well, 12 years, right? And this past fall it happened. Not just one little date, but a whole bushel of dates from Hannah. She had, and what an appropriate name for Hannah. All these dates, huge amount. And they said in the article that their testing and their process breathed life into these old seeds, and they bore fruit. Think about that spiritually. Only God can do that. God will do the same. Breathe, O breath of God. Now breathe. Breathe on us. Bring life. Bring life. Many years ago, seeds of revival were planted in this area. Because God's revival moved in an amazing way. In New England, it was unbelievable. There was nobody in bars, nobody if they had some theaters. There were nobody in stadiums. Wow, it sounds like now. Yes, believe. These seeds can come back to life. Our God is able to germinate these, to bring them up into seedlings spiritually, and to bear fruit as trees. It will take His resurrection power and His church to be involved to bring His kingdom abundance every day wherever we go. And hear this, and then we'll have the song. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and has anointed you to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim deliverance to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the prisoners free, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Our God and His holy word is good soil to be planted in, to rest in His abundant life and delight in the abundant life and in God, and to bring Him to our world. Let's do it. Amen.
In the
Now let us have a time of worshiping the Lord with our tithes and offerings that you can bring forward during our final song. And I'd like to just thank everyone at home and everyone here that continues to send in their tithes and offerings. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. We know that this is a really difficult time, and we're just so thankful for each and every one of you. So let's offer our prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who provides. You are our Jehovah Jireh. Everything that we need, Lord, you give to us in your perfect timing. And so, Father, not only do we come and lift up our tithes and offerings as a sign of worship to you, Lord, but we come and we lay ourselves down, Lord. We say, Lord, breathe in new life into us. Make new wine for us, Lord. Set us on fire to go into this world and to speak your truths, Lord, to proclaim the gospel, to do your work, for us to be the hands and the feet, the vessel of very you that walks on this earth for you, Lord. We want to be a part of all the new things that you are doing, Lord. We want to join together and to advance your kingdom. So, Father, take our gifts, our tithes and our offerings, and use them, Lord. Multiply them. Sow them into your kingdom, Lord, so that we can expand you, Lord, into our world, so that we may be able to go and bring those who do not know you to you, Lord, that we can be the light of the world for you, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given us. Let this be a sweet aroma of praise and worship to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you are able, please stand and join us in our final hymn.
Know this and be blessed. Our Heavenly Father loves you. He delights in you. You belong to Him and to His Son. So rest in that, delight in that truth, and share it. Share the good news. Amen.